Welcome to the Citizen Bitcoin Podcast. I'm Brady, and I'm sharing my journey learning Bitcoin, hoping it makes yours a bit easier. How's it going out there, all my Bitcoiners? I hope you're doing fantastic today. Thanks for joining me again here at the dawn of the Bitcoin Renaissance. Today, we sit down with Alessandro Cecere, aka El Sultan Bitcoin, for an incredibly passionate, incredibly bullish episode. You're going to love it. But first, let's check in with Swan. Now, Swan is as easy as it gets. As you all know, auto fund USD, auto stack BTC, auto withdraw BTC. 1, 2, 3, that's it. You can use my ref link to get started, swanbitcoin.com/Brady, and get $10 dropped into your account after you start auto stacking with Swan. And speaking of that referral program, you can join in too. Join the Swan Force. Sign up at swanbitcoin.com/enlist. You'll get a custom landing page with your avatar and message at the top, and you earn 0.25% of every Swan plan purchase your referrals make for 3 years. It's absolutely incredible. And of course, your referrals get $10 of BTC too. Everybody wins. You don't need to be in the US to join Swan Force, okay? Anywhere in the world, you can join Swan Force. If you sign up US-based customers, we'll pay you in sats wherever you are in the world. One last note about Swan. I gotta shout out the other podcast that I host. This one for Swan, it's called Swan Signal, and I'm really, really loving the format. We invite two Bitcoiners who have never or rarely publicly appeared together before and just create this forum for incredible discussions that are very unique in the space. We've had incredible drops with Adam Back and Preston Pish, Matt O'Dell and Alex Gladstein, Tur de Meester and Robert Breedlove, and these guys combine for some awesome conversations that I don't think you should miss. It's a great add to your Bitcoin podcast rotation. Check it out at swansignalpodcast.com and youtube.com/swansignal. All right, thanks as always to the Let's Talk Bitcoin Network. If you're listening on LTBN feed, thank you so much for joining. You can subscribe to LTBN for other great Bitcoin-only podcasts if you're not already. Bitcoin und Co., Bitcoin Audible, What Bitcoin Did is all on there. And a personal favorite of mine, POV Crypto with my boy CK Snarks. A lot of fun to get into that one. He debates Bitcoin and Ethereum with his friend David Hoffman. All right, let's get into this episode. Today, we sit down with Alessandro, CEO at Coinspree, a leading LATAM Bitcoin business based in Caracas, Venezuela. Coinspree provides custodial solutions to institutional investors and merchants. It has also launched the Pandora Box, a beautiful full-node solution. El Sultan, as he's known on Bitcoin Twitter, recently made a waves there with his Cypherpunk satellite setup. You'll find that pinned to the top of his Bitcoin Twitter account. Alessandro is incredibly passionate, and this episode is insanely bullish, so get yourself ready to get hyped. Prep some fiat in case you need to smash that buy button during this episode. High likelihood you will. All right, here we go. Yeah, so man, this is a crazy time in the world. I've been starting like every podcast since the pandemic and the insane money printing going on around the world. How are you doing down there, man? In Venezuela, has this pandemic impacted you guys?
Oh yeah, a lot. It could last until December. Some import and export of most of goods it's basically blocked. So. It's kind of chaotic. Well, Venezuela has been a chaotic country all of its history. But the whole deal of the past 20, 25 years being a communist and socialist country just kind of takes the game sideways. You know, it's just another deal. It's not like in the US or whatever. It's a whole other deal. Hyperinflation, I mean, I guess that the National Asamblea Nacional, as they call it, it's like... the government entity that provides us with the measurement for inflation, inflation for the past month was 39% already for that basket of goods that they measure, which has been changing over time, just like in the US. But over here,
just in the past month, 39%.
Yeah, just in the past month.
Accumulated
inflation for the past years surpasses the 1,000,000%. It's just stupid. to some people, I know it's insane, that fact. And I understand that abroad, some people in other nations kind of ask themselves this question that how are Venezuelans doing it to survive? No gasoline, no food, no import, no export, hyperinflation. Their currency is worth nothing. I mean, we don't even use the bolivar anymore. We actually use your fiat currency, I mean, dollar. And some is made via digital payments. It's made everything via Zelle. But now even that is blocked. So I don't know. Ugh. It's hectic.
Damn. So what are the price, some example prices of like common consumer goods right now?
I can give you an excellent insight. Okay. Let's talk about gasoline. So okay. all of my life, I've never paid more than a cent for 60 liters of gasoline. That would be equal like a whole tank of a car, a small car. Yesterday I paid $20 for my full tank because we don't even have gasoline. Yes. So inflation is even running in dollars, not only in bolivars. Everything is going up in prices in dollars as well. We don't have much national production, so we kind of have to import lots of stuff. But yeah, basically you would see one of the most hyperinflationary products here with regards to food, food and beverage would be cheese. Cheese, for example, went up 35% this month. Sometimes it goes up 90% in weeks.
My God, that's insane. So how are you guys surviving? I mean, this is, the dollar is hyperinflating. You said that like, you know, people were going to use or like moving toward using Zelle to kind of route around the cash, problem. When you guys are using or were using Zelle before it was banned by the government, which is just crazy, but not surprising, I guess. What were you denominating in? What was the unit of account? Was it dollars, bolivars, both?
Both, basically, and it started to be all Bitcoin.
So people are actually using Bitcoin as a unit of account right now, and some people anyway.
I would say that not people, but more companies. You know that for the past 25 years with this government and the whole contra exchange currency rates and all of that, not being able to change your bolivars for dollars at your bank and not being able to accept international payments or wire transfer coming from other nations, it created sort of a small group, a small industry inside the country that is the remittances, the informal remittances industry, right? So there's Matt Olberg with some excellent articles on usefultolips.org. Stefan Levera got him on the podcast one of these other days or past weeks, where he analyzes all of these active traders that you have on local Bitcoins, for example. You have daily like 15,000, 20,000 active traders on local Bitcoin. And most of them are working as informal remittance providers. Okay. So either for getting the money in or getting the money out. Basically, those would be the main use cases that are starting to use Bitcoin as a unit of account and unit of account for pricing and product services, whatever it is. But it's not like you see it at merchants. Some merchants, you see them accepting Bitcoin Dash. I actually believe that started not because of Bitcoin, it started because of Dash and the whole Dash Foundation that came here and started giving Dash for free to people in Venezuela. It went crazy and it was this boom use case during the 2017 bubble, you know. But yeah, it was a pretty interesting use case that it's just opened the path to continue Bitcoinize in Venezuela. I don't even call my country Venezuela sometimes, man. I call it Bitcoinzuela. I think it'll actually be the first nation globally to adopt not like Bitcoin as a unit of account, but as a standard, dude. Something that is above everything. Something that is above law. It is above the constitution. It is above, I don't know, everything, everyone, man. Okay, so it's already above the government. I mean, all of my life and every single Venezuela has been dealing with this crazy deal of how to how to take care of your wealth, because it is literally a depreciation that you know, I don't even have a mind to explain it, man. We don't even understand what happened. It's crazy. I mean, I've been studying everything that's behind financial markets and the banking system, and where does money come from, and how governments have depreciated that, how are monopolies and oligopolies created, and everything has to do with one thing, Brady. Government intervention, man. So if you asked me, how are we being able to live around here, having no food, no gasoline, being all in on Bitcoin, dollars, whatever it is, cash, euros, yuan, yen. Dude, in the end, life, you know, it's about surviving, man. Mm-hmm. And when you have the opportunity to grasp the reality that has been created inside a nation like Venezuela, you see that there's no system. There's actually no system. There's only a few groups of people that are controlling all the other people. Mm-hmm. And eventually, if they become powerful enough, they become sort of like cartels. So the Venezuelan government is a cartel. The Fed is a cartel. OPEC is a cartel. The USBC industry is a cartel. I actually only believe that the only VC withstanding that some interesting values in the US right now is social capital. And if that is happening inside the US, then probably nowhere else in the world, and you can be sure of that, I can tell you that from experience, there's no VC industry. So it is a lesson of life, Brady. We've been taught a life lesson, us Venezuelans. We went through a bonanza period for the past 50 years in this country. Everything was used to, you know, people dancing on the streets, people drinking on the streets. Everybody was at a corner eating sushi, having a chat. It was beautiful. It was beautiful, man. You wouldn't even have an idea. Look, I'll give you an example. When Rockefeller at its time became the most powerful and richest man in the world, he opened up a supermarket chain in Venezuela. And we're talking about Rockefeller, man. This country has a hectic history, Brady. I know it's not the topic about the show. Let's try to take it all over Bitcoin and whatever you
want to
ask me.
Oh, no, man. Yeah. Anything you want. Like, we don't have to stick to Bitcoin here. Like, we can talk okay. about all this stuff. And, you know, this is tangentially related, because this is economics. You know, this is monetary history. And so it's all related, you know, to Bitcoin in the end. Pretty much everything is, right?
yeah, pretty much. We can bring
it back to Bitcoin, pretty much any topic.
Yeah. So, look, I guess that the hardest shock the economy has taken for the past, I'd say, let's look at it more like a medium term. For the past 3 years, I guess it was the whole negative oil future contracts the past month in financial markets, that Bitcoin went minus 55%. That was a huge mm-hmm. deal because... look, man, again, if you read the articles, the beautiful articles inside usefultulips.org that Matt Olberg has been doing, I think he has published one of the best insights with regard to studying the whole volume inside Latin America for local Bitcoins. Every time the electricity goes off, the electric grid starts failing in Venezuela. Volume goes down like 80% on local Bitcoins in Bolivares, in Mexican pesos, in Argentinian pesos, in Colombia pesos. So what does that tell you? What's the conclusion behind that? Venezuela is working as the harbor for Bitcoin volume inside Latin America. Mm-hmm. Few people really understand that. I mean, the whole Bitcoin volume deal here is at a whole other level. And I think it will just continue to grow. I think that over the next 3 years, it will reach $1 billion a year, the Bitcoin volume inside Venezuela. Right now, the remittances market is probably like around $10 million a day. Sometimes it's $15 million a day. And yeah, I think that Bitcoin right now has like 30% of that.
How is that tracked? Who, you know, where do you find numbers like that, the remittance volume per day?
There are several Venezuelan economists here, very well known. This Hankel Garcia, I don't know, almost, you know, they're just like from the Venezuelan academia. There's actually very well-known professionals coming from Venezuela, especially economists. There's even a Venezuelan economist called Hausmann, Ricardo Hausmann. He used to be Minister of Economics at a point here. He is now a professor at Harvard. He has some interesting economic models that he has developed himself. I think that there's just a whole wave of economic thinking is being born as well in Venezuela. And it has to be related with all of that behind Austrian economics and the whole deflationary deal, and not the Keynesian, mm-hmm. The traditional Keynesian model, which I disagree with it. I mean, I come from a country that basically government intervention has been all on. So, Keynes supported at its time government intervention inside economies. I don't know. I just don't agree with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is, kind of it's the global standard now in terms of economic and monetary policy. We're all default Keynesians now. We're all born that way. It's been, 50 years of these kinds of policies, government intervention. And in Venezuela, you can see like a real world example of, the inevitable end of fiat currencies. Once you start intervening in the money supply, there's moral hazard and you're put on this, like you can't stop doing it the next time. There is some kind of, capitalist economic downturn. You end up having to print money in insane volumes. So these economists that you're speaking of are Austrian, right? They're studying the Austrian school and have come around probably from their academic Keynesian upbringing, I'm guessing, and changed their minds and are starting to study and espouse Austrian economics.
Yes, I'm astounded by the fact. I mean, it's just beautiful, man. And it's starting to grow as well, the study of Austrian economics here in Venezuela. I mean, colleges here are just so outdated. And I think that's not happening only in Venezuela. I think it's happening globally, right? Colleges are just outdated. That's a reality. So, look, I think it's mostly a generational thing. It's the new generation inside countries like Venezuela and Argentina, probably, that are starting to study this new wave of economics and are starting to grasp it and take it as a new standard, as you were saying. I think the whole thing of Keynes is somewhat boring. It's now boring, it's probably more enjoyable to look at Milton Friedman's YouTube videos on YouTube than reading a book about Keynes and stuff. I mean, one has to study that because, as we said, it's sort of this global standard. But again, what global standard? There was a standard and a gold standard at its time, and it was working, and then it was just repealed in 1973, and then it's just no more, and then it's just an inevitable vicious cycle. That is happening not in my country. It is happening in your country. It is happening in Brazil, and it is happening in China, and it is happening everywhere, man. So it is literally the end of fiat. It is happening in real time, and the globe is on fire, dude. And there's just this, this shit show on social media that their governments are trying to cover up everything. And people are not stupid, Brady. The vox populi shall never be extinct, as V said in the V for Vendetta movie. I don't know where it's going. I just think it is very interesting to me to see that it's still in North America, I mean, in the United States, and pretty much globally, there is still some people that have some sort of faith, but in the system, because they're scared. People are scared, dude. People don't know what the hell is going on, okay? People are losing jobs. People are losing their insurance. People are losing their opportunity to continue studying, and they are already indebted as hell, as much as possible. People don't have access to credit. The banking system is literally broke, the global banking system, man. Yes. What has happened since 2008? Nothing. Quantitative easing everywhere, and a coordinated quantitative easing coming from governments and central banks. If it hadn't been coordinated, I think the thing would already have been chaotic 3 or 5 years ago. I don't know. I just think it's really interesting, as I was saying, that people still have some sort of faith in the U.S. system. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Fed is already broke. It just lost its values and lost track. And it's just inside a vicious cycle that will not end. And I just say it from experience. I saw that happening in my country. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was telling my Brazilian girlfriend at a time in 2014, like that I was scared because the exchange rate of the dollar to the bolivar was 30 bolivares per dollar. And now it's like 30 billion. And I don't know if the U.S. is going to reach that point, but if people start really losing faith in the system, man, and they start noticing that it's just a bunch of show, what is it going to happen? I think once people lose trust in their currency, man, and in their system, it just starts going down the rabbit hole, man. Mm-hmm. And welcome to Alice in Wonderland.
Exactly. Yeah, man, you're on fire today, boy. This is awesome. I'm loving this. And you know, it's not, I guess it's not surprising, man, if you are living through this hyperinflation down in Venezuela and you find an answer, right? You find an alternative. You have some hope again, right? So let's get into your rabbit hole story, man. How did you find Bitcoin? Was it because you were living through this hyperinflation and were looking for an alternative, more like, I guess, naturally scarce and money that's not able to be interfered with by the state?
No, but I'll tell you what my Bitcoin rabbit hole is.
I'll gladly
do it. When Hugo Chavez was the president at the time in Venezuela, I was studying in high school and I was browsing on the internet with this group of friends inside one of my friend's apartment at the time. We're talking about at 2011. Mm-hmm. And we found this digital currency, you know, this crazy thing that was going inside the internet and this crazy stuff that you could hook up your computer or your laptop to start generating Bitcoins, you know? And it was very exciting to me because I've always been a technophile all of life. But it was there. It was just interesting, okay, first. I did not get into it too much. But by 2012, one of my friends had already started, like, mining Bitcoin a lot. Bitcoin was starting to go really up, man, like, crossing the hundreds of dollars. I was starting to get excited about it. And at that point, hyperinflation was not happening in Venezuela. I would say that, yes, inflation was happening, but it was not an abrupt thing. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It was very controlled. Hugo Chavez was starting with his whole deal about Cadivi, which was the system that he built to give people and companies a way to gain access to preferential dollar rates from the government. And that was just a stupid bonanza period for Venezuela, as I was saying. Because you could literally buy dollars at a rate of 2 and then from the government and then go next door and sell them for 4. So you could, if you had the possibility to have the access to those dollars, you could literally be making 100,000% profit per day on your money. As I'm telling you, that's a bonanza period that will not happen in Venezuela probably for the next century, dude. But anyways, because of that specific bonanza period, I was able to travel with my family abroad. I had the possibility to know more than myself, more than 35 countries. I was at Sweden in 2013, and I was just looking at the Bitcoin price, man, on my apartment, I remember, and it was skyrocketing. The bubble was starting, the 2014 bubble, and I was just so excited. I started investigating about some mining hardware that was starting to be launched on California at the time. And I started telling my father that I was going to become a millionaire because I was going to start mining a magic coin, and electricity is free in Venezuela. I had already a couple of friends. Yeah, I had already a couple of friends doing that. But then Bitcoin's price started crashing. at the time, I was not very well educated, nor financially, nor with regards to economics and all of that. I didn't have this knowledge inside me that allowed me to think long term for about Bitcoin. If you know what I mean, Brady.
Oh yeah, I hear that, man.
Yeah, but then I got back to Venezuela and I started a mine with those friends. We mined for over 2 years, and then I just quit it. That Bitcoin started going up a little bit in 2016. I was excited, so I grabbed part of my Bitcoins. I traveled to China. I was interested in learning about the industry. I went to Shenzhen and Hong Kong and Guangzhou as well. I've always had this interest in trying to build some hardware for myself because I used to study electrical engineer.
Okay.
I love hardware and I love technology and I love getting behind that. I love touching chips, man. That's what I love. So I met this crazy factories dude in China and I met all of this brilliant Chinese people. I built a network myself in China. I signed some contracts with some factories that produce hardware in China. I was just very amazed. My father helped me with some savings that he had in time as well. So to me, it was just very honorable that because of Bitcoin and going down my own Bitcoin rabbit hole, I was only being able to travel to China. Donald Trump was elected in the United States as president. That was hectic, and Bitcoin started skyrocketing. When it came
Wait just a second. What do you mean by that was hectic? Was that causing a stir in China while you were there?
Yes. I mean, some people that I was staying at, I booked an Airbnb, okay? I booked an Airbnb in Shenzhen and Guangzhou, and both of my hosts knew about Bitcoin and had some Bitcoin. What's the probability of that happening, man?
Right?
I don't know, dude, but it was pretty amazing. So, yes, I was just having some fun with my host. We were very happy. Bitcoin was around $900. Then by January 2017, I was already back in Venezuela. I went to a meeting with a couple of friends that were trying to build sort of a Bitcoin business. I didn't know much about before the meeting. So they started telling me that they wanted to become the first ones in Venezuela to create a Bitcoin exchange. And I was really interested because at the time, my family office was available. So I said that I could maybe hook them up with a very nice office and that we could, communicate more trust to this important people from the banking system in Venezuela and other banks if they visit us inside a very, very beautiful office. It's an office that my father built. He's an architect. So anyways, I was trying to grab 33% of what was called Beat Amigo. Beat Amigo, man, was actually like the first Venezuelan started Bitcoin exchange. Okay.
Okay.
Not local Bitcoins, not Sor Bitcoin, not anything like that. Okay. Like the first national approach to build an exchange from the ground inside Venezuela. I was getting into that. Bit Amigo. I did not like much the ideals of the dude, so I quit it. But then I tried moving to the United States. I went to the States. I visited a friend in Miami that knows McAfee himself. I got to see a couple of Bitcoin mines inside Florida. That was awesome, dude.
Oh, nice.
Beautiful. Never forget that. Yeah. I do have some pretty hectic stories. And then I just came back to Venezuela. I did not accept an offer from JP Morgan Chase to become an analyst for working at Florida. I didn't like the deal, and they were just interested in me because I was able to speak somewhat good English. My English was more polished at the time. And I'm able to speak Portuguese because I've had a Brazilian girlfriend for the past 5 years. and there are a lot of Brazilians inside Florida, you know. And I'm also a Spanish speaker, you know.
Yeah.
A native Spanish speaker. So, okay, I got back, and that's when I started studying even more but at a technological standpoint about Bitcoin, Brady, okay? Nice. I was actually not all into Bitcoin. I had the technological understanding behind, you know, running your own mining hardware and having some S3s at the time, S7s, then S9s, whatever. I've helped friends inside Venezuela build their own small mines. I've even assisted friends at building mines that have, I don't know how much hashing power, but one of the biggest inside Venezuela, okay? But then I wanted to start learning more about Bitcoin, and I knew I wasn't able because I was unable to code. I knew something about coding, you know, because as I mentioned, I studied electrical engineer, but not as much to install Linux by myself and run a Bitcoin full node and run it over Tor, understand about multi signatures, Schnorr, Taproot, if you know what I mean. I think you know right. I think you're grasping the whole idea that I'm trying to communicate here. So I doubled down on Bitcoin, man, and I started trying to install my own Bitcoin full node. Okay. I got into a tutorial on the internet, the Jameson Lob launched before he got inside Casa, and they launched their first Casa full node version. Okay, yeah. And that allowed me all inside a piece that I basically have inside my home, my own Bitcoin. And dude, I got amazed by that. As soon as I took off some Bitcoins out of an exchange and put them inside my Bitcoin full node, I felt crazy, pretty. I felt like I had to tell that to people, okay? Like that they need to start running a Bitcoin full node for themselves. I started studying about how you could run them on this very small mini computer, the Raspberry Pi. Mm-hmm. And so I got really amazed by that. And I started trying to just again, how I could build a business by being kind of a service provider or hardware provider of Bitcoin full node hardware ready devices, you know? And it's just being a life experience, man. And now after 3 years of launching this concept that I have, CoinSpree, I know that I, as a dude and an entrepreneur, man, a humble man coming from South America, I can tell you that I know what I have on my hands, dude. I know that I have one of the best market research about Bitcoin full nodes because, frankly, how many national Bitcoin businesses have penetration to the Venezuelan Bitcoin ecosystem? It's yeah. basically zero, dude. It's only local Bitcoin.
So when you started running your full node, like, and I love how you talked about how, you know, you felt the power, right, of self-sovereignty when you fired up your full node and transferred some Bitcoins into it. What wallet were you using, by the way? Like Electrum or something? Or just
Bitcoin
the native?
Core. Bitcoin
yeah, just
Core.
Bitcoin Core. Yeah, of course. Yeah, that makes
the
sense.
The native one, yeah.
Yeah. So do your kind of fellow Bitcoiners down there then like generally understand and appreciate the power of running a full node, the importance of it?
No, nobody understands inside this country yet yeah. what a full node is. And that's okay. because it makes sense. South America has somewhat of a technological gap, technologically speaking, you know, with regards to, like, if you compare it to the United States or Canada or Japan, for example, whatever, or Europe, we have bad bandwidth overall South America. Good bandwidth is basically unavailable, and if it's available, it costs too much, okay? But I have been this unique advocate, okay, inside yeah. Venezuela, and I've even approached the banking system trying to communicate them as much as stupid as they are, okay? Because behind the banking system, there's only stupidity, okay? About why they want to run Bitcoin full themselves, why they want to have the name Bitcoin Core wallet, why to understand how they can build multi-signature schemes, even using their own coin full nodes, in this case Pandora box, to deposit for the long term Bitcoin. Because I am trying as hard as possible, Brady, for the past 3 years to help
my country as fast as possible to gain exposure to a national project that will allow the country and the banking system to deposit some of our international reserves into Bitcoin. If we keep our international reserves in dollar, they will just get burned. And they are getting burned every single day by this government. So that it's pretty interesting to me that if you think about it, there's a dude inside Venezuela that all of a sudden has approached all of the companies inside the banking system, all of the banks inside Venezuela, and has taught them what a Bitcoin full node is for the past year. And there's a whole interest inside the whole banking system that you have no idea, man. I'm even in touch with Knox Custody Canada to bring insurance to our business model so they can actually insure the Bitcoins that they will be depositing for the long term, okay? And I'm actually talking to the enterprise division of Trezor, with their business development manager, Jan Pichinovsky. And he's amazed of what CoinSpeed has been doing here with the whole Pandora Box business model and what I explained to him. I even invited him to Venezuela. And I also invite you, man, whenever you want to come. You know that you know it's all time Bitcoin, and if you want to know everything about Bitcoin in Venezuela, and you want to see the best minds, and you want to see the whole deal behind Bitcoin, and who has the volume, and you want to have a nice piece of steak, and you want to go to one of the most beautiful beaches that you will see in your life, I am open, and here are my arms wide open, Brady.
I love it, man. That would be too much fun, man. I'd love to do that. Yes, I would love to do that. So you're kind of leading the charge down there, man. You're leading the charge, educating people about, you know, the broader aspects of Bitcoin, the importance of self-sovereignty and running your own node. And I love that. I think it's really important. And the fact that you're working with the banking system, man, this is all so impressive to me. And you really impressed Bitcoin Twitter when you posted about the satellite full node, the satellite communications with Blockstream, so that you could download the blockchain, in remote areas, not relying on ISPs and internet infrastructure, land-based internet infrastructure. So cool, man. Let's dive into that project and hear about the details.
Okay, so with regards to the Venezuelan market, I've always been as stoic as possible, okay, when talking about CoinSpree and the Pandora Box project, okay? That is because I know, Brady, that inside my country, I will build probably 10 great use cases of people and special businesses running Bitcoin full nodes. I want to help the banking system, but it's a deal that it'll take me at least a year more, and I'm fully aware of it. Because the whole banking system here is broke. When you're talking about the Venezuelan banking system, you're talking that if you take all of the banks of the banking and finance industry of my country and you sum that up, their valuation, that total valuation that you come up with is not even bigger than the 27th smallest bank of Colombia. That's hectic, okay? But that's why it's a very interesting story to build for the project, for Pandora Box, and for the Bitcoin ecosystem overall. Because we're talking about, for the first time in history, being able to Bitcoinize a banking system, which would imply that Bitcoin is already bigger than part of the global banking system, dude. Yeah. That's amazing. So, but for people, the hardware costs too much. The learning curve, it's so huge, man. All of the content, basically, to understand this, most of it is in English. It is starting to being built on Spanish. I'm actually working with my creative director and my visual communications director, one of my internal designers at CoinSpeed, to post some beautiful Spanish tutorials on how to learn to install your Bitcoin full node yourself, running over Tor, and it'll just be step by step. First Bitcoin Core, then Bitcoin Core over Tor. then you get that stable, then you add lighting, then you add Electrum server to start building multi-signature schemes by yourselves, and just try expanding as much as possible for the Hispanic market. The knowledge, a very curated knowledge with very curated information and market research on how they could install a Bitcoin Full Node on an SSD or on a Raspberry Pi and run it at their home or at their office. That's very interesting, man. It took me a lot of time to understand that if you want to run a Bitcoin business, you are dealing with the monster and you're trying to grab the bull by the horns, if you know what I mean. You sort of, in a way, try to not own Bitcoin, but penetrate it. And Bitcoin is unstoppable and it's a hurricane, man. And as soon as you try to get into the middle of it, you get burned. So every single Bitcoin business globally, not only in Venezuela or the US or Europe, has to somehow approach this more open source model. So initially I started with this B2B business model, approaching financial institutions and commercial banks, offering them Pandora Box and Bitcoin Full Nodes. And then I started creating this synergy by bit, by starting to communicate to people and millennials specifically, right? The importance of running by themselves a Bitcoin full node and not trusting anybody else while verifying the transactions of Bitcoin. And I've done that very proudly inside my college, okay? Universidad Metropolitana of Caracas, which is the most entrepreneurial college there is inside Venezuela, okay? It is honorable. And I've run proof of concept tests with their network engineers inside Metropolitana, and they were amazed, dude. They were just amazed that a dude came with a plug and play Bitcoin full node called Pandora Box that nobody knows how the hell he did that. And as soon as we connected it, Brady, we were connected to Iran, to China, to the US. So, dude, to me, I want to tell this: running a Bitcoin full node, it's not about being sovereign and, you know, having your own wallet and not trusting anybody. It's about becoming a Bitcoin citizen, dude. Okay? To me, Bitcoin is not a currency anymore. To me, Bitcoin is a digital continent. I've actually written an article that I published on my LinkedIn profile where I found a parallel of the Atlantis, right? We're talking about 12,000 years ago and Bitcoin itself. Because Atlantis at the time was the superior continent that connected all others globally. It was superior from a security standpoint. They had very structured walls to get inside the core of Atlantis. They were superior from also a technological standpoint, okay? How they leverage water, and they studied physics to conduct energy in new ways. So if you think about it, that's like a parallel taking it to the 21st century to talk about like the proof of work and the immutable ledger, the blockchain behind Bitcoin. And the walls would be itself the blockchain that it gets reinforced every 10 minutes. And it's already the most secure database on the planet. And it is frankly the first digital continent that humankind has ever created. It is going to outlaw every single law. It is going to be superior than every single philosophy that we have known for the past century, man. And it will transcend our lives in a way that we don't even understand. So yes, I'll get into the satellite deal, okay? I got very excited there because I know that I've been working on a perspective about Bitcoin coming from Venezuela that nobody's talking about, not even Ter the Mister. I think I'm even more passionate than Ter the Mister himself when I speak about Bitcoin. Bitcoin is music to my ears, dude. Bitcoin is what's keeping my family alive. Bitcoin is what's keeping CoinSpree Steam alive. Bitcoin is what's giving me right now the opportunity with my voice to sit and feel next to a Bitcoiner that is in the United States and I feel that you are my brother. And it's because of Bitcoin, if you know what I mean.
Oh my God, man. This is getting me so pumped. I don't think I've been this pumped about Bitcoin ever. Like, this
get
is the,
pumped, dude. Get
this
pumped,
is the top, man.
The new world is being built right now, and it's being built by us Bitcoiners in every single corner of the globe, man. From scratch, underground, dude.
If you are if you're listening to this and you're not just absolutely on fire right now, I don't know, man. This is a call to nodes, not a call to arms, right? This is a peaceful revolution. This is a call to nodes. If you're not running your own Bitcoin node, start now. There's only about 10,000, I think it's even less now, 8,000 or 9,000 publicly available nodes that you can connect to and verify with and download the blockchain. It needs to be so many more. All right. So get on it, run a full node. It's never been easier. This is a revolution. This is the dawn of the Bitcoin Renaissance. And as you just heard El Sultan say, running a node makes you a Bitcoin citizen, right? This is Citizen Bitcoin Podcast, and this is what I've been talking about for years. You know, we need to become good citizens of Bitcoin. We need to shepherd this thing, to fruition. Bitcoin is inevitable. It's going to happen anyway, but we can work together to educate others, to bring Bitcoin to new parts of the world, to, you know, speed up this process and make sure it happens in the best way possible. That is our obligation as citizens of Bitcoin. And I love what you are doing, man. I love how you're bringing the fire. Okay, I want to hear about the specifics here. The satellite node. I want to hear about the Pandora box. I want to hear about CoinSpree. You know, you're doing amazing things down there. You know, share it with the listeners.
Well, I was already testing with Blockstream South American satellite, right? Eutelsat 113 for the past year. I started with one of CoinSpree's developer at the time when the electric grid started failing in Venezuela, because we were undergoing the Pandora box development and starting to test our own Bitcoin full nodes, run them with the Venezuelan bandwidth, and see how the blockchain crashed if we lost internet or electricity, everything, man. It was just hectic, but we felt freeze, and that's when I immediately bought for my team, dude, the necessary hardware to start running tests for satellite. And it was just like, I need to start testing this, because I've actually, Brady, look, just taken the time and burned a massive amount of personal and family resources, okay, just to test every single technology behind Bitcoin. The Liquid network, the Lightning network, multi-signature schemes, Bitcoin full nodes, Bitcoin Core. I've bought myself a Casa full node, and that got toasted the second the electric grid started failing. I think they are totally awful. I don't want to criticize them all along because they're like the best full node U.S. company probably from a delivery standpoint. I just think their business model with regards to full nodes should be more, I don't know, more sovereign, dude. Not so company dependent.
They actually stopped building them and selling them now.
It's hard running a Bitcoin full node business, man. I understand that. Okay, I'm trying to communicate to people inside Venezuela the importance of that, and it's been hard, but I've made it possible, and we will get into that in further detail when we start talking about the Pandora box. So yes, I've been testing for over a year with the thing of the satellite, blockchain satellite, but because DirectV 2 weeks ago literally left the country from night to day, man. Okay, all of a sudden, I said, fuck it. I'm going to go to my roof and I'm going to leave installed my LMB, and I'm going to start running my own Bitcoin full node satellite inside one of the Pandora box units that I have in inventory. And I started doing that. And so I've been trying to test the connection running on a Raspberry Pi 3 Plus, and also I'll start running it on a Raspberry Pi 4 as well. I actually, because of the tweet and the whole fire that I dropped in Twitter, and you and the whole Bitcoin community, man,
provided me with awesome support and awesome help. And that's what Bitcoin is all about, right? The decentralized stance. I got into Blockstream's private Slack group. So now I'm in direct contact with Matt Odell and Samsung Mao, Excellian from Blockstream. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. I never imagined that would have happened. I'm trying to provide to Blockstream the ideal testing environment for running a Bitcoin full node on a Raspberry Pi 3B Plus inside Venezuela. Because frankly, who else will? Only El Sultan. Nobody else here. That's the reality. I'm the most crazy Bitcoiner inside Venezuela. I'm pretty aware of it. Yeah, dude. So it costs about at a hardware level $400, $500 to build a Bitcoin full node setup. So it's a very huge gap, and not everyone in Venezuela has the possibility to buy that. Look, there are now, as of now, 10 million satellite dishes with no use right now inside Minnesota. Yeah. Okay. So
I've got one on the side of my house, and I've got the hardware.
Yeah.
I've got the hardware that I need to convert it, or most of it, most of the hardware anyway. And so it's a project I need to get done as soon as possible. And, you know, shout out Grubles, not Grubles on Twitter, at not Grubles, and Staticus at Staticus 3000. I know you used their write-ups, their tutorials.
Yes.
You know, shout out to those guys, heroes, man, of getting, you know, sharing this knowledge with Bitcoiners.
Superheroes, man. Yeah. And so look, I know that I will build as much as like 10 use cases inside Venezuela. I'm trying to build 10 use cases for normal Bitcoin full nodes connected to the internet. And I'm also trying to build 10 use cases for satellite. I'm actually thinking about running a BTC-based server crowdfunding for CoinSpree to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Some people do not understand why I'm so crazy that I want to build carbon fiber Bitcoin full nodes. Actually, even JW Weatherman did not agree with me on that perspective. And let me tell you why. I think, and I'm sure, that people will never understand what's behind Bitcoin, dude. They won't, okay? Just understand what's behind the internet. But somehow, at some point, some group of misfits and outliers built a user-friendly interface for them to start using the internet. And I think it'll be the same thing for Bitcoin. Now, telling people to run a Bitcoin full node if they don't like technology is so goddamn hard, okay? I think that before you tell them that they need to run a Bitcoin full node and they like the idea, we Bitcoiners need to find a way to create so polished Bitcoin full nodes that when you show them to people, they look like a brilliant piece of art, a unique device, not giving people open ports like those four USB ports on the Raspberry Pi, the HDMI and the audio port. No, man, Pandora Box has only one port, Brady. I'm looking at it in front of me, and
I'm looking at it too, man. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
And I'm touching my own version of Pandora Box that I got painted with Porsche 928 paint at the best auto paint shop at Panama, man. Okay? The only authorized paint shop that can paint Mercedes AMG, Ferrari's El Sultan went in with his Pandora Box, and I told them, look, I am traveling to the Crypto Valley in Switzerland. I approached the owner immediately, dude, with my Pandora Box in the toilet. Look, this is the future of banking, okay? This is my own bank. And I use this inside Venezuela, inside Aruba, inside Spain, inside Switzerland, inside everywhere, okay? And nobody can block my signal while using Bitcoin. He was just amazed. He was a Jewish guy, okay? Very much into JPMorgan Chase, actually. So it was actually very intriguing to him.
to him. But he lost my passion. And what I try to do, Brady, when I communicate to people what a Bitcoin full node is, I try to do it as passionate as possible. Because frankly, just as every single great thing that humankind has ever created in history, art, okay, needs to be attached to one thing, man. A brilliant and passionate speech. Otherwise, people will not take you into consideration. So yes, I've tried to build this very crafted Bitcoin full nodes and very versatile ones. I know that I have the smallest and most versatile Bitcoin full node of the globe, dude. And I built it inside Venezuela. I approached this dude. He painted my Pandora box. I went to the Crypto Valley in Zug. I pitched about Pandora box and CoinStreet, and I received 100,000 Swiss franc funding to create the necessary structures inside the canton of Zug for CoinSpree to have finally, after 2 years, man, a decent company, man. Because I won't even be able to do that inside of my country, and no US VC and no European VC care about you if you don't even have a company with just a stupid piece of paper, a serial number that a controlling government provides you. But any good business needs to have that, dude. That's a pretty interesting thing to mention, I think, Brady.
So, all right, I'm looking at the Pandora box. Describe this to our listeners. You can go to coinspree.com and look at it yourself. It looks like it has a, is that a, like a touchscreen, or do you connect this to a keyboard? Just tell me how you've got this thing set up.
It's actually stainless steel on front of it. Okay. Nice. And I'll tell you why, and I'll actually tell you why the name Pandora box. First of all, I think that we Bitcoiners need to get rid of this antiquate usage of the word bit that we've created inside of the industry. The only bit inside the Bitcoin community and the Bitcoin industry is Bitcoin, okay? To simulate, something similar to Bitcoin to help people get more attached to it and get related to Bitcoin and think that it's the same thing, okay? I understand, but I wanted to drop the bit. I wanted to drop the coin for the product. I wanted to drop everything, and I wanted to go beyond Leonardo da Vinci and beyond electricity, beyond everything. So I started thinking about ancient Greece, right? And the last thing that the Greek gods deposited inside the Pandora box at its time, what was it, Brady? It was hope, man. The last thing that the Greek gods deposited inside the Pandora box, dude, which would unleash all of the mad things that would happen in the world, was hope. And what is all of this about? It's hope. I think that people will not be able to touch hope with Bitcoin if they don't run a Bitcoin full node for themselves, because that is the real decentralized part of Bitcoin. Okay. And that's why Pandora box, dude. And that's why I did the Pandora box of Bitcoin. That's why it has the B of Bitcoin inside the brand. I think, dude, that running a Bitcoin full node and running a Bitcoin business is actually not thinking too much about the future. It's actually coming back to basics. Okay. Great products, great brands, tied to excellent stories and great distribution, man. Okay. So yeah, Pandora box runs on the Raspberry Pi. It's the smallest, mini PC on the globe. I actually think that is very important because I'm envisioning a world with over a billion Bitcoin full nodes inside houses and offices and merchant spaces. And if you think about how would that footprint of a billion Bitcoin full nodes distributed globally look like, we want to be as friendly as possible with planet Earth, dude, okay? Be as environmentally friendly as possible. And that's why Pandora box does not even work with active cooling. I've tried to go down the Steve Jobs hard way. No fucking fans, dude, okay?
I've actually been thinking this whole time. I'm looking at how beautiful this thing is and the lines and just the the form and the materials you decided to use. And I was about to say, as soon as you were done talking about it, you're the Steve Jobs of Bitcoin hardware.
Wow, man. Thank you, dude. That sounds pretty good. I was actually looking at a documentary, right? And it reminded me of when Steve Jobs with Steve Wozniak created the Blue Box, okay? Mm-hmm. Which allowed everyone to basically jump above the phone grid inside every single country, and you could call internationally without going through a central authority. So he built the Blue Box and I built the Pandora Box, man.
I love it, man. I love it. Yeah. And you know, it's the idea of not compromising and the passion and the dedication to telling good stories, right? And just thinking ahead, like you are right now, with these products. So yeah, man, I think it's an apt comparison and it's deserved.
Have you read Shoe Dog by Phil Knight?
I have not.
Dude, Nike story. Excellent.
Yeah.
Conclusion, he says, never stop. Never stop, man. You can't stop. You got to wake up every day and boss your ass off and start working your ass off for what it is that you're trying to communicate to people, what it is that you want to achieve in life, dude. And if you want to leave a legacy, you can't stop, Ray. You can't.
Just got to keep going, man. I hear that, man. I am, I recently have had the fortune to join a Bitcoin startup, which is really just kind of a dream come true. I'd been hoping for it for a while. And, you know, it is a joy. It is an honor. It's a privilege to wake up in the morning and just get to work on Bitcoin full time. And yeah, it's also a grind, man. You got to just keep going, man. You got to just work and push forward. And fortunately, it doesn't feel like work to me. But yeah, you just got to keep going and hustle and work to get this thing and to get these Bitcoin businesses going, especially at this relatively early stage of the Bitcoin industry, you know?
To all of the Bitcoiners that are listening to us out there right now, we Bitcoiners are outliers of the system. And that is why we are going to fucking fix it, man. That's a reality. You got me pumped.
You got me pumped, man. I think it worked the other way around. I'm just trying to give it back, right? We're working off each other now, man. This is the way it is. This is we have this opportunity, you know, and I've been talking about how, you know, this is our time, right? This is our time to shine. We've been waiting for this moment. This is the moment that Bitcoin was built for. It is a real world instantiation of these ideas, the ideas of sound money that, you know, really barely survived. You know, Robert Breedlove on the Swan Signal show this week, you know, talked about how, you know, the ideas of that are behind Austrian economics really came close to just kind of being snuffed out and lost to history. Mises was, you know, kind of the father of the school. You know, he was sent to the front lines of battle. Like, you know, if he hadn't survived and you know, written these books and carried forth these ideas, the light of sound money, the truth of money, who knows what would have happened, right? But now we have this tool, this product, this, technology that is the real world version of all of these ideas. And we as Bitcoiners who have, you know, understood, who have done the work to deeply understand what we have here, it is our obligation to share this with the world, to shepherd it to fruition, on a global scale. And I am, just dedicated, excited, and honored to be able to have, you know, realized this at this, like, again, relatively early stage. I think people, Bitcoiners out there feel that passion, that dedication, and I see it and I appreciate you. And I'm proud to, you know, be alongside you in this effort to, you know, really bring Bitcoin to the world. It's awesome.
It is a responsibility, totally, man. I mean, us Bitcoiners that have gone down the Bitcoin rabbit hole so deeply, we can't stop, and we need to continue spreading the knowledge. I think that still the technology, as you were saying, it is still very early ages, man. And it's just as, at a price, from a price perspective, it is just as much while you have DSS. This has always been either about zero or $1 million per Bitcoin, dude. Literally, okay? And hopefully it'll change the system for the better. Yeah, we just got to keep spreading the knowledge, and that's why I'm also working on those tutorials, open tutorials in Spanish for teach people in the Hispanic markets on how they can run by themselves their Bitcoin full node. And lastly, Brady, what I would talk, what I would want to talk about and clarify, it's a little bit about Coinspree. I know today that Coinspree is the leading company, the leading Bitcoin company in Latin America when you're talking about custodian solutions and institutional Bitcoin server services, as well as production for Bitcoin full nodes. Okay, so for the past 6 months, I've been doing a thesis on how I could create a production line for Bitcoin full nodes using John Costanza's DFT production model, which is based on a daily production daily production capacity and not a monthly or yearly production capacity. And what I found was very interesting. It is the most adequate production system that exists in the world or that we have developed so far. When you are trying to sort of reduce the cost of producing and standardizing the production of the Bitcoin full node. That is huge and that is important, dude. That is one of the most valuable intangible assets that Coinspree holds today, okay? And if you think about it and you want a parallel and a simple example, you need to think about Ford at its time, okay? Ford. Henry Ford became a great businessman and he built an excellent business from the ground, not because he built the car, because he did not. It was built in Germany. It was because he built the first mass production model for car production. Look at Tesla. Tesla's building new production models, and now the dude, Elon Musk, has a company that is valued more than the whole automobile industry inside the US. How crazy is that? But only the misfits and only the crazy ones that believe that can do crazy things that can change the world are the ones that do them, man.
I feel you, man. I hear you. I feel like we are a kinship between us, man. And I, you know, I'm looking forward to the day when we can meet in person. When we can, you know, just, I mean, I, you know, we're getting hyped, you know, just over this voice connection right now, man. I can't imagine, I can't imagine what it'll be like when we're in person, celebrating together, wherever it might be in this world. You know, it's going to be fire. I'm so glad I got the, this opportunity to talk to you, man. I'm absolutely fired up right now. I'm going to go buy myself some more Bitcoin when we hang up here. You know, I really appreciate your time, man. I appreciate this. I can't wait to talk again. We got to get back on the podcast, you know, in the coming months, get some updates from you and Coinspree. Really excited about what you got going on. Coinspree.com. Go check out the Pandora box. Take a look at what these guys are up to. You know, I love the vision. I love the passion. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, man. And now I'm going to take a brief space and time, Brady, to finally drop the masterpiece and the bomb, dude, of what's behind what. Okay. We are trying to bring voice to Bitcoin. We are trying to bring the possibility of a blind person using Bitcoin. Because that's what this crazy Bitcoiner from Venezuela has been asking himself as a question with his team that have built more than 4 Bitcoin maximalist teams inside Coinspree for the past 3 years. And it is that even a blind person should be able to talk and use Bitcoin. What's the sound of Bitcoin, Brady? You don't know it. You can't answer it. It's dead. Bitcoin is dead if it does not have a sound. And I believe that the only crazy ones that are working on it globally are called Coinspree, the Bitcoin heroes from Venezuela, dude. I will continue banging the door and the gateways of the Silicon Valley VC industry as I have done. I have already been in touch with Pantera Capital, and I can tell you and I can tell the listeners Do not get in touch with those people, man, because they are nasty. They are mad. And they took CoinSpree's money, okay? I have been in touch with Multicoin Capital. The experience was far more decent and excellent, man. I have got in touch with Social Capital, and I have got in touch with Blockchain Capital and the Amazon Alexa Fund and a whole bunch of other VCs. Just wait to see what will happen over the next year or 2 years for CoinSpree, man, and for the Bitcoin industry as a whole. Because in the end, it's not about us. It's not about Bitcoin. It is about giving hope to people, Brady. Thank you very much for hosting me on your podcast. You are an excellent human being, man.
Likewise, my friend. Likewise. Thank you so much. We're going to drop it there. If you are not hyped up, Bitcoiners, I don't know what will get you hyped up. Share this podcast out on Twitter. Share it with the Bitcoiners in your life. Get hyped. Get motivated. Let's do this thing. Thanks to Alessandro for joining me. You can find him on Bitcoin Twitter at elsultanbitcoin, at ELSULTAN Bitcoin, and I'm at Citizen Bitcoin. The podcast website is citizenbitcoin.world. You can share this one with family and friends. Get them listening to some Bitcoin content. You know, choose whatever Bitcoin podcast you love to get them introduced to Bitcoin. If you think it's this one, I would love the recommendation. You know, the bull is incoming. We can all feel it. So get your friends and family on board. And I think Swan Bitcoin is the best place to get them stacking. We are very new coiner friendly. We're focused on education. We make it super simple. No distractions from altcoins, no traps on that front. Just Bitcoin, just auto stacking. It's the way to get your friends and family started. But first, you should grab your ref link at swanbitcoin.com/enlist. Grab that SwanForce ref link, and you can stack some sats based on their buys. 0.25% of every Swan plan purchase they make. So go grab that, then shill your family and friends on Bitcoin. Thank you to LTBN, as always, for including the podcast in their feed. And you can check out my merch shop at layer1btc.com. Click on partners and then Citizen Bitcoin. Lots of cool stuff there to check out, including some OPSEC-friendly designs. If you want to rock some Bitcoin gear that is not going to make you stand out like a sore thumb, that you're a Bitcoiner. All right, check out the podcast that I've created for Swan, Swan Signal Podcast. If you haven't yet, I really think you're going to love it. It's, you know, like I said at the top, very unique content in the space. I think it's producing some incredible discussions, and I'm having a lot of fun hosting a forum for those discussions. You can subscribe to the podcast at swansignalpodcast.com. We're also on YouTube, youtube.com/swansignal. If you have any questions for me, please do reach out. It's been a lot of fun to chat with some of you. My DMs are open on Twitter. That's the best option. Again, at Citizen Bitcoin. You can also find me there, same name, on Telegram. That would work too. I'm also on Keybase, although I'm not on Keybase as much as I used to be. So Telegram or Twitter. All right, that's it for this week. Take care out there, Bitcoiners, wherever you happen to be in the world.